Stephen Curtis Chapman, WWIB. My favorite artist of all time, Jason Kanz, you know that, right?
I do know that.
Yeah.
That's not a bad choice.
Thank you. Andrew Peterson is yours?
It is. He is, yes, absolutely. Yeah.
Two cool guys, for sure.
Yeah.
You know, that it's interesting. For Peggy and I, we got married, and I apologize if I said this before, but, I mean, we wanted to leave in the recessional to this musical interlude from Great Adventure, but Long Way Home's become one of the defining tunes, too. Like, it is a long way to the kingdom, and we're journeying through that in 2020 and 2021, right?
Yep, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so Heather and I, during our wedding, had I Will Be Here by Stephen Curtis Chapman as part of our wedding music.
So. Yeah. Very good. There you go.
I think that was actually how I won her heart, was I would sing that song when we were very early on when we knew each other. And
okay.
She was like, oh, a boy who sings. And so that
nice.
Was, yeah.
So, again, apologies if I've shared this story before, but in your mid-50s, you'll start going, I don't know if I did share that before, but I know I've shared the story. And so Stephen Curtis Chapman was here in concert late 80s. It was the More to This Life tour, and it was at Eau Claire Memorial High School. So 30 years ago, he's been around for a while. And so at the and I had a chance to pray with him before the concert, and then he was singing I Will Be Here near the end of the concert. And his wife, Mary Beth, happened to be at that concert. And she's just like, yeah, but he's never here. So anyhow.
You've never shared that. That's a wonderful
thing. Oh, okay. Yeah, it's kind of fun. we should do Brushes with Fame. You know, give us your call at 396-1670. Fun stories about brushes with fame that you've had. Any come to mind for you?
Boy, I don't know. That's. My famous person would be Larry Crabb, I think.
Well, how about how you felt when we went to Houston? You wrote the book and edit. You wrote the key article, and then you edited this book about living in the larger story, right? About Larry Crabb, and then talk about how you, because you just reposted the picture again.
There was a whole bunch of speakers we had come, and so that several people wrote chapters for that book, and it was neat to have a lot of well-known Christian writers come. Ed Welch was there, and Sun Young Tan was there. Gary Moon, of course, was the keynote speaker for that. There was a lovely woman named Mimi, who I think was my favorite talk of the whole weekend. And so just kind of a neat thing to have all of these different folks there. And
that was a little slice of heaven, right? A couple of days, a little slice of heaven just on the journey. So,
yeah, in Wisconsin, maybe it's better to say this. So I did my PhD at the University of Iowa and went to church with Aaron Campman, who played for the Packers for a number of years. And he sat right across the aisle from us.
Cool.
And so he used to carry Grace around all the time. And she once saw a picture of him in a football uniform and recognized him not because he played football, but because he was the big guy who carried her around church.
That's pretty cool.
That's kind of a neat.
Yeah. I got a chance to host a number of, to interview a number of the Packers when they were here, FCA. There was a period where a number of them came. And I know when Evelyn was a baby in 2000, we had a picture of former Packer wide receiver Bill Schrader holding her. So, pretty cool.
Cool.
But probably we weren't as tight with Bill as you were with Aaron Campman. So there we go. Well, we really don't have enough time for a devotion. So let me raise this thought today, though.
Sure.
Just in my life journey yesterday, it came to a point. I returned back to a wonderful thought that I know that I tie to you and Bob Goff. And I thought I need to go back and read that wonderful book, Love Does. But I think it's from that book. He talks about becoming love. And that's something that, when you read that, you really embraced. Talk to me about that, becoming love.
Yeah, so, you know, the whole idea is that, you know, in each moment, whether with our families or with those who think differently than we do, the notion is, you know, Jesus called us to be people of love. And so Bob Goff really stresses this idea of becoming love itself, right? I mean, so that we are people who you know, love just pours out of us as we interact with others. And that's a real challenge, quite honestly. And if you've never read any of his books, especially those first two, Love Does and Everybody Always, He just provides example after example of ways in which we can become love. And it's a good principle, and it's hard for me, at least, to live out of that all the time.
Yeah, well said. Yeah, and so love does, I've read everybody always, too. I think still love does is better. Love does is just really good. What a bunch of wonderful stories. And it's been long enough now that I know my wife and I both really enjoyed it, and some of the kids, too. So, and you've done...
That's on my must-read list.
He did the devotion, I mean, and so your review on that one real quick?
Yeah, you know, so he did a devotion, and they're really good. I mean, again, they follow that same idea that he's established in his earlier books. But one of his real advantages is, as a writer, is he's a great storyteller.
Yeah.
And in the devotions, it's hard to get through a story. And so,
yeah.
But really good. I would, if you're going to start somewhere, Love Does, you can't go wrong with.
Very good. Absolutely. Thank you, friend. We'll talk to you tomorrow morning. All right, Jason Kanz, jasoncanz.com. Always interesting. Isn't he a fascinating guy? Private messaging me is Ron this morning, sharing his story. And what does Ron have to say here? Hi, Mark. I was listening to you on my way home this morning and heard you ask about those who have had a brush with greatness or something on that order. While we were first married, we lived in Pennsylvania for about 15 years. During that time, I was able to coach the local traveling soccer team, which both my sons played on. Our goalie was Eric Kratz. The baseball player. Yeah, wow. I also assisted coaching baseball. Eric was the catcher, and my eldest son was one of the pitchers. I also played fast pitch against Eric's dad, who I believe was also a catcher. Fun memories. It was neat to see Eric make it to the pros. We were able to see him play a few games. It was neat to see Eric use the platform God gave him for his glory. And recently, Greg Stewart, right, with us, even as Eric is retired, Greg had a multi-part sports and commentary interview with Eric Kratz, and I think we've re-aired that as a best of already. Thank you. Yeah, you got the idea, Ron. Appreciate it. That's what I'm talking about. Good morning, Caleb.
Good to be here.
All right, good. Good morning. 23 degrees, and we have been throwing the question out for an hour plus. Your brush with fame story, the Wib Wake Up Show Facebook page, as well as the listener line at 715-396-1670. This is what John has to say.
I was invited to a gathering in Madison, Wisconsin, to meet Les Paul. There was a lot of famous musicians at this meeting and dinner, and I did meet Les Paul. But when we ate, I got to sit at a table with Steve Miller of the Steve Miller Band, and I got to talk to him for quite a while, which was quite a treat. He's quite a nice guy. Anyway, that's my brush with fame.
Now we just need John to meet PCD and...
Yeah, there you go. Then it's complete.
Well, the question on the Wib Wake Up Show listener line this morning, what's your brush from fame? Here's one from 93.7 La Crosse, our friend Mike.
One day I won a sales contest and I got to eat with the Green Bay Packers and coach their workouts and everything. So I got to sit down and eat with Brett Favre and Mike Holmgren and Reggie White and the whole team. It was really wonderful. The only drawback was I'd gotten saved about a year before that, and so it wasn't as exciting as it would have been, because they probably would have been gods to me before I was saved. But after I was saved, it was wonderful, but it wasn't that good, you know.
That's pretty cool. Thanks, Mike from La Crosse, for that. I mean, I have to say, the Minister of Defense meeting Reggie White again
pretty
before
cool.
his early passing would have been really, really incredible.
Yeah. Well, we're asking this morning on the Wib Wake Up Show Facebook page and the listener line at 715-396-1670. Share with us briefly about a brush with fame you may have had. And I think we've got an update from John, don't we?
Yes, we do. So I was saying, hey, John met Les Paul and Steve Miller from the Steve Miller Band. And I said, man, biggest PCD fan anywhere, Phillips, Craig, and Dean. I said, we just got to get him hooked up with them. Well, here's what he told us.
Caleb, I did meet PCD, Phillips, Craig, and Dean. I went to three of their concerts in Eau Claire and got to meet them. Also, Mark there gave them my phone number, and I got a telephone call from Randy Phillips, and we talked for about a half an hour. So I did get to meet PCD. Great guys. Thank you.
I forgot that you did that. That was pretty cool. I mean, again, there's just not a bigger PCD fan anywhere than our friend John from Ladysmith.
They usually shouldn't just give out people's cell phone numbers, but I didn't think John would mind.
You didn't, yeah.
No, so.
Well, your brush with fame.
Yeah, you know, being a Bucks ball boy, I mean, it was 81-82 season. And so there were some great players. I mean, you know, you got there 3 hours before the game. And so, I mean, from Dr. J was still playing back in the day. What is he, like 70 now? But he was playing.
Yeah.
And Magic Johnson and Kareem. But probably one of the ones that I had the best encounter with, Michael Cooper. And some basketball fans might remember, great defensive player. He was like the sixth man on some of those Showtime teams with Magic and Kareem that won titles in the 80s. And I don't know, we just kind of hung out before the game. And he wanted to give me his tickets. The players at that time were all given a couple of tickets. And no, but there was a procedure you had to go through. And it was a nasty snowstorm, like January of 82.
Sure.
And ultimately, yes, my dad and his good friend Jack were able to come to the game that night in the snowstorm. Bucks Lakers. So I don't know, just that stands out to me like one of the cooler NBA players I got to hang with, Michael Cooper.
I remember as a youngster, and what would I have been, maybe 9, 10 years old or so, I got to tag along every once in a while on youth group outings because my dad was a pastor. And so there was a church in Barron, and our church had teamed up together to take a trip to the Packers Hall of Fame in Green Bay. And of course, knowing how big a Packer fan I was even at that age, my dad let me and my older brother tag along.
Yeah.
And so after we tour the Packers Hall of Fame, and some of the youth group members bought some memorabilia, you know, footballs and things like that, we saw a guy in those distinctive Packers pants, the yellow pants with the green and white stripes, walking through the parking lot. And someone's like, and we had a tour guide at that point. Someone's like, it's a player, go get his autograph. And we were like, who is that, to our tour guide? And she's like, yeah, I don't know, must just some rookie, I guess. She's like, I mean, you can if you want. It's probably just some rookie, might not make the team. So they went over, got one of the footballs they had just purchased, signed by him. And when we looked at the autograph later, and I remember my brother had a Sharpie because everyone was like, does someone have a pen? Does someone have a marker? And my brother's like, oh, I have a Sharpie, and gave it to them. Brought the Sharpie back, brought the football back. It was number 86, a guy named Antonio Freeman, who was just walking across the parking lot, and they got their football signed by Antonio Freeman. And my brother was like, he used my Sharpie. He used my Sharpie. Again, like Mike from lacrosse, maybe we idolized Green Bay Packers members a little bit too much at that point in our lives. But
that rookie went on to be a pretty good receiver.
I'll always remember that overtime touchdown catch on Monday Night Football against the Vikings. This is something that came out yesterday when we were asking about minor injuries, Halvo, and mouths getting burned with pizza.
Uh-huh. Yeah, pizza's really hot, and all of a sudden, you've all had that. You've eaten pizza that's too hot, and then you get that, you know, burn in the roof of your mouth for a couple of days. So it's kind of a hassle, maybe a pet peeve. It's led to this song.
And that's, again, how could pizza do this to us, and why am I so impatient? That's what inspired this song.
I can't wait to hear it.
Pet peeve put to music, hot pizza. I have a decent memory, I really think I do. But when I see hot pizza, that's anything but true. Can't wait for it to cool, and that's when things start heading south. Cause once again, it scalds me on the roof of my mouth. Ow. So good, though. Pizza, you're so cunning, I really wish I'd learn. You never really love me, you just want to watch me burn. You'll never show me mercy, but as I find the ice, I talk around my blisters, hey, toss me another slice. Toss me one more slice. There we go. Pet peeve put to music.
Very
hot
good.
Pizza edition.
Very creative.
We'd love to hear from yours on the Wib Wake Up Show Facebook page or the listener line. What is your pet peeve? And you just might hear it on a Wednesday here on the Wib Wake Up Show.
Good morning, WWIB family. This is Sherry from Fairchild. So he's a pretty famous guy. 5 years ago, I actually was on Ron Wanix, the founder of Ashley Furniture. We were on his yacht. My team and I were shooting a fun video, a little Gilligan's Island spinoff, if you will, and we got to invite our spouses, and boy, I was just a little starstruck that I was on the founder of Ashley Furniture's yacht and having such a wonderful time, and that my husband got to join me, and just really fantastic. I hope you all have a great
rest of your week. Bye. My claim to fame is my first cousin, Mike Fossum, who is a retired astronaut. He flew in two space shuttle missions in July of 2006 and again in May of 2008. In 2011, he spent 6 months in the space station and sent us some really cool pictures from space. While we visited in 2016, we took us behind the scenes at NASA, including a stop at Mission Control while a mission was going on.
Well, been getting great response on people's brush with fame today on WWIB and great audience participation. We love it. Again, we say you're the third member of the show. We mean it. And this is better even than the 12th man, like they say at Seattle, Caleb, because this is climb onto the field with us, right? Their voice can be a part of the show.
Speaking of the 12th man and football, we actually have had quite a few Green Bay Packer brushes with fame. And some of the most famous people in Wisconsin, I guess.
I got to tell you about the game on Saturday. 8,000 fans are going to be spread out throughout the stadium. Be loud. I hope they are as loud as possible.
If you were fortunate enough to be one of those ones who got tickets in less than half an hour, bundle up and have a great time. Be loud.
All right. I guess we got another one here from the listener line. Let's give this a listen.
This is from Marty, his brush with fame.
Good morning, WWIB. This is Marty Kalahutch. I have a brush to fame that I'd like to explain. During the 1990s, early, my son and I attended a small group meeting at the Celebration Church in Green Bay, whereby Reggie White, we played small games prior to the meeting. And it was just great to be with him because he's a common guy, just like you and I. And we talked about family. We talked about struggles in life. We just talked about playing things, not even entering sports. But Reggie was a great guy to be with. My son was so impressed. And it was a great opportunity to meet someone that loves the Lord and that lives it. Thank you for listening.
Well, thanks so much, Marty, for that. We'd love to hear yours. It might not be the Minister of Defense, but maybe it is someone that you've come across in your travels.
Classically Wisconsin, right? I can tell you what, I think of another one. I was in Green Bay as well, Packer game. It was the Saturday night before the game. We were at a steakhouse, and I'm remembering, it seems to me, Jim Rickey from Rice Lake might have been here too. But Brett Favre's dad, the late Irv Favre, was in the restaurant, so got a chance to meet him. So a little... didn't meet Brett, but hey, his dad, so.
There you go. Again, one step away, 1 degree separation.
When I was 14 years old, I was in Phoenix, Arizona, and we were at the airport, and I met John Wayne. I remember he came off his private plane, and he had a tiger with him, and there was only about 14 of his kids or so, and we petted the tiger, shook his hand, and I remember when I shook his hand, my hand disappeared. He was a huge man. And he talked just like he sounded in the movies, to my recollection. Anyway, I just thought I'd throw that one in, too. Have a great day.
I met Charlton Heston at my girlfriend Sunesha's wedding, and it was awesome.
That one coming from Kathy on the WIB listener line at 715-396-1670. What's your brush with fame? I have to say, John from Ladysmith, his story about meeting John Wayne might be my favorite so far.
Back-to-back references to John Wayne and Charlton Heston. Wow.
There you go. Yeah. Moses and the Duke. That's fantastic.
It is a brush with fame Wednesday, and taking your calls at 715-396-1670. One of those, Packer Bob in Rice Lake. I got to tell you, he's such a Packer fan, Caleb. He's the only person I ever truly did nominate for the Packer Fan Hall of Fame. He didn't get in, but...
Yet. It's just like Leroy.
He's knocking on the door. And he shares a fantastic Packer story with us. Yet another here this morning.
My wife and I had recently been married, and she'd never been to Lambeau. And so we went to take a Packer Viking game. So we drove down there early, decided to go to the Packer Hall of Fame. And while looking through the awesome trophies and memorabilia, we were in Vince Lombardi's office. My wife had never seen Bart Starr before, but she saw pictures of him. And there was a mob of people walking down the hall while I was in Vince Lombardi's office. And she said, "Bob, I think Bart Starr just was walking by." And I'm like, "Yeah, right." And she said, "There's a mob of people out there And we came out and took a look, and there was probably 30 people around him, and they were, a couple of the guys were like, please make some room so we can get through here. And anyway, I saw Bart in the crowd, and I couldn't hardly believe it.
So a woman asks Bob to take her picture with Bart Starr, and Bob, obviously, after the picture, is really close, and here's what happens.
Very nice to meet you, Bart. I'm Bob. And he reached out and shook my hand, and I was, like, shaking. And it was just an amazing moment. He was a Boytown hero of mine from the get-go. And just it was a brush of fame for me to have that moment. But I just wanted to share that with you.
Bob and Bart, that's a pretty cool story.
It is. I remember actually Bart and Sherry both here for a Boy Scout event at Florian Gardens a few years back. And just meeting him, I mean, just such a graceful gentleman. And they'd been married like 60-some years, and you could still feel the love. It was just something else.
So. And here's the thing, too, a man of faith in Bart Starr as well, too. And the impression that he made on Hall of Famers like Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers, not just as a quarterback, but as a man of faith and as a leader, where he was so gracious and welcomed them into the Packers family and mentoring them from up close, but also from afar to, again, don't know for sure where Brett or Aaron stand with the Lord. But when you have someone like that who's pouring into your life, when he doesn't have to do that, but he did that because he was a loving man. And so great icon and not both Packers lore, but also here in Wisconsin, one of our leaders.